Good morning. As he said, my name's Carolyn Ridley. I work in the advancement office here at Asbury, and I am a connector of people, and it plays out in various ways, but today it has me here introducing my good friend Doug Jones. Doug is an actor. In fact, the best-known actor whose face you've never seen, as illustrated by just a few of the roles on the screen. At this point, he's my friend, but by the end of chapel, he'll be your friend too. He's sort of contagious. You'll feel like one of the family. Now, as far as Asbury goes, Doug is one of the family. Anybody else have a picture of a relative that's in the basement on those composites? Yeah, a few of you? Okay. Doug does too. Can anybody go back to the class of 03? Okay. 1903. Doug's the youngest of the youngest, and his grandfather graduated from Asbury in 1903. If you look in that photo, you will find Ezra T. Franklin, his grandfather. E.T., yes, he went by those initials, graduated from Asbury, as did three of his brothers, and then he went for further education before returning to Asbury as an administrator. Our Asbury history book, page 24, talks all about it. So if you're into history and want the details, page 24 of the history book. Doug serves on the board of Media Fellowship International, an organization that I had the privilege to work for before I returned to Asbury. Doug's calling, as I see it, is to be a light and to share love. Some of Doug's work tells tales like the Oscar-winning Pan's Labyrinth, in which Doug played the title role of Pan and also the Pale Man, or the film or a film festival project he worked on called The Candy Shop. And some of those are dark tales, but in darkness, there's a light that shines through Doug that cannot be put out. Doug's a lover of people, a mentor to many who are called to the world of television and film. So welcome your new friend, Doug Jones.
Wow, wow. Thank you, Carol. That's an introduction I cannot live up to, so... The guy standing in front of you is not all those things, but thank you. Don't I look amazing? I know. I look like a waiter at a fine restaurant, don't I? But I haven't always been this pretty, though. When I was just a boy growing up in Indiana, you're going to find this, right? Right? You're going to find this hard to believe, but I was actually really tall and skinny. I know, right? Yeah, didn't see that coming. But, I was about this tall in high school, but I weighed 20 pounds less than I do now. Where did that come from? I barely could get from one place to another without... I would lie in bed at night. Well, it looks something like this, I think. And I would just pray, oh God, please make me normal. And as we all know, sometimes his answer to prayer is a big fat no. But there was a plan for that, apparently, that scripture in Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you. I don't have to know them. He does. Right? Oh, look at that. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And when you're a young, geeky kid in bed wondering if you're going to be normal or not, that's a nice scripture to rest on, knowing that he's got a plan for you. And little did I know that my tall, skinny, lanky frame would come into play for the rest of my life and that there was a career and in the showbiz for me as... a guy who wears lots of crazy makeups on my face. You saw some of them there. I've gotten to play a fish man mutant in the Hellboy movies. Thank you. Thank you. I got to play a Marvel hero, Silver Surfer. Oh, Instagram challenge. You want a pose that you can take a picture of to do that Instagram challenge now? Can you bring your phones out in chapel? Probably not. Okay, we're going to break a rule. Okay, I'm going to strike a pose. Take a picture if you want. Thank you. 55 years old. I still got it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, no, and also getting to play in the multi-Oscar winning Pan's Labyrinth as both the Fawn and the Pale Man. And anyone ever see Hocus Pocus? And the rest of you had moms like me that wouldn't let me see a movie with witches in it, right? I know. Totally. And, well, I got to play Billy Butcherson in that, the zombie guy. That was me. And Falling Skies, I was the alien co-cheese for 3 years on the show. And even with my own face, I have used my own face. I was DC Comics villain Deathbolt in an episode of Arrow and The Flash last year. I killed people with my eye beam things. So don't tick me off today, okay? Watching you. And anywho, so but you know those plans that God had for me will go beyond just getting me into the showbiz and having acting jobs. It goes beyond that. Apparently, there's more to life than just showbiz, I guess. But being in the business, I've been so very blessed to have gotten opportunities I would never have in another lifestyle. And that would be, for instance, back in 1996, some of you weren't born yet, right? Oh, anyway, back in 1996, I did a movie called Warriors of Virtue. Thank you. I knew someone saw it. And now I got to meet him. It was a kung fu kangaroo guy story. Ninja Turtles have nothing on us. Okay, we were the kung fu kangaroos. Anyway, we shot the film in China, in Beijing, China, for 4 months. And this this is 1996. So China being a communist country, and back then even the restrictions on travelers and what you can do and religious materials that you bring with you and all that. There was a whole list of guidelines before I got my visa to work over there. I could only bring enough religious materials for my own personal use. Nothing for distribution or, you know, to sell or to pander to the locals. So I called the International Bible Society and decided that for my own personal use, I needed a dozen Mandarin Chinese Bibles that I smuggled into the country. I broke the law, you guys. I know. Well, I stuffed them in my luggage, in all parts of my luggage, and shoes and underwear wrapped around them and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, what have I done? I'm taking 12 Bibles into a country that doesn't want them. The government doesn't want their people to have them. So I'm, oh dear. Well, and I'm getting off the plane. And I don't know what kind of security I'm going to be meeting at the other end. And so I'm at baggage claim, and my suitcase was the very first one to come off the 747 with 300 people on it. My bag was the first one. I got it. I go rolling it past this big. Then I go through customs. And my passport was checked, and then there was a big scanner thing for all the luggage to go through again before you exit the building. I walked past that scanner, and all of the guards watching the scanner, and nobody saw me. Right? A 747 lands, 300 people get off. I'm the first guy to get my luggage and walk off past everybody. They never saw me. They didn't check my bag. I smuggled my Bibles in, you guys. I have to believe that there was some kind of divine intervention because they were blinded. It was like I wasn't there. So I think there were some angels doing this. Now I'm in China with 12 Bibles. What am I supposed to do? So my mother, God rest her soul, she had some connections with people through an organization called Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. And the international part, they had some connections in China. Some people knew some people that knew some people that knew some people that had an underground in-home church meeting. and they had to do it in secret. And so anyway, I found these people and was able to attend a couple of their in-home services. And you, boy, I'll tell you what, you think you're a Christian until you meet people who practice their faith at the risk of being executed for it. That's when you realize, maybe I need to step it up a notch. You know what I mean? So anyway, they were very happy to get the Bibles. They could distribute them among their own people. That was a purpose I didn't even see coming. I wouldn't have known that that was a possibility. But he always knows. He always knows how to prepare us for what's ahead. So stay flexible. You don't have to stay as flexible as I am, but you know. Oh, do you want to see flexible? Oh, this is another photo op, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that in there. It had nothing to do with chapel today. 55 years old. Thanks, Doc. Oh, you people will clap for anything. It's true. But getting to play in as many things as I have over the years, too, the question often comes up, being a Christian in Hollywoodland, is material, you know? Have I ever said no to a project because it was morally bankrupt? Yes. The answer is a big, fat yes. The script I get a lot because I do lots of creature monster roles like, you know, is the script that everybody seems to write again and again and again is the horror film, you know, with we're a bunch of half-naked teenagers running around the woods, having sex and smoking pot, and, oh, here comes Doug Jones to kill all of us one at a time. That same movie is written again and again and again. So anyway, I did a movie called Legion. Anybody see Legion? Thank you. Okay. And the rest of you are thinking that was utter heresy. Why would you watch that? See, right? Because Legion was a story about the Archangel Michael comes down from heaven and he leads a legion of angels that come behind him to obliterate humanity. And God's angry and he's going to get even and just kill off all of human beings on earth. Oh, right? So I was just offered a cameo in the movie, just a 90-second scene where I played the ice cream man. For those of you who don't know the movie, the ice cream man steps out of a truck looking like a guy. So I was wearing an ice cream, you know, outfit with a hat and a matching tie. And then I morph into this hideous beast, like arms and legs growing everywhere. My jaw drops down to here. I'm like, oh, ah! And I start running like a spider toward the building. They shoot me. 90 seconds. Oh, but it was a good 90 seconds. It was good. It was really good. Cinematic. So when I was offered this part, I'm just looking at you guys up there. Okay. Pretty hair, by the way. It's blue. Yeah, it's kind of... Abe Sapien would find that attractive. That's my fish guy character. She looks like a mermaid. I get sidetracked very easily, by the way, you guys. I'll warn you now. Where was I? Legion. Okay, ice cream man. Okay, right. So I'm offered this role, just do this little cameo, and well, the lighting's much better here. Don't I look better here? And you know, I'm only doing a 90-second cameo on the role, but I still wanted to read the entire script to see what kind of a movie am I going to be in, and what will I be helping promote, and all that. Well, I read the script for this, and it was like, ooh, God is angry, and he's sending angels to, you know, instead of protect us, to kill us. So I thought, okay, best thing to do, instead of just saying a flat no, I'd like to have a coffee date with the director to find out what is his mode of storytelling, what is his undercurrent that he's going to tell with this movie, how is he going to tell this story. And so I sat down for coffee with him at a lovely little place, and he said, and I told him of my concerns. You know, I said, you know, my mother raised me better than this. You know, I need to help. I don't want to offend all my Christian friends and all that. And he goes, oh, my gosh, I don't either. He says, He said, I think you misunderstand the entire meaning of what I want to accomplish here. He said, I really want to pose a question, and that is, if we were living in Old Testament times, if let's pretend that we're in modern day, but the New Testament hasn't happened yet. Let's pretend. He said, would humanity right now in the state that we are in, would we be deserving of another flood? Yes, we would, I thought to myself, you know, right? Look around you. Wow. So I said, now you've got my attention, and I think we're on a roll here. So, yeah, he said that this legion of angels was very much like the violent flood that took out all of Earth, except for Noah and his family that survived. And in the story of Legion, there was a few people holed up in a gas station out in the desert, and that was kind of like the Ark. So there was a bit of that parallel kind of storytelling, and I was one of the raindrops in the flood as one of those first angels turned wacky. So I got it. But what I saw, the bigger picture that I saw in this was that not the movie itself, because even the movie, it certainly didn't bring people to their knees to accept Christ. It's not that movie, right? But what I saw the potential for, and when you pray about something, God will give you a leading of what to do. And the leading was, take this job, do this movie, and be a part of the press machine that comes afterward. Because what came with this movie was some questions. What came with this movie was a discussion. What came with this movie was journalists in the press asking all of us during the press junkets and the red carpet premiere and everything, you know, hi, hey, good. The question came up always, this is a very controversial movie. Do you think God is mad at us, and what's your take on that? Right? They were asking the entire cast this. Wouldn't a Christian voice in that discussion be helpful and useful? Yes, it would. So that's what I thought. So that's why I said yes to it, because I had the opportunity to tell CNN and USA and Today and Entertainment Tonight and the E! Channel. I had a chance to tell all of them, I think that Legion is a very entertaining movie for a Saturday night that has, you know, some angels kicking butt and, you know, using weapons, and it's great, you know, exciting action. And I told the same, I was able to recount the same thing and say that our director posed the question to me, are we deserving of another flood? And so it does make you stop and realize and ponder, what have we done to our to each other and to our earth? but I said that the good news is that tomorrow is Sunday morning, and you're welcome to come to church with me to hear the rest of the story, because there's a New Testament in the Bible that I have, and that continues. We don't have to pay for our sins this way by destruction anymore. That was all done for us, and I was able to say these things to the major press, right? So that's why I took the movie, not because we were telling a really, you know, we weren't telling the gospel story, but I was a part of a machine that actually could later on in the press area. So did anyone fall to their knees and accept Christ because I said anything? Probably not, but did I use my little voice in my little way to soften the blow of what could have been worse? Probably. So that's what I would really encourage anyone here to do, no matter what your field of study is, no matter what you're going to be doing in the world when you get out there, is you have a voice in whatever work you're doing. And we have a responsibility to use our voice responsibly, and to share the good news of Christ in whatever subtle ways we can, or big, bold ways, whatever's asked for, whatever's needed, whatever this Holy Spirit leads us to do in that moment, right? So that's happened time and time again, where I've taken a movie and thought, huh, but then something good came out of it. When I did Hocus Pocus, for instance, that was with Ralph Winter was an executive producer of that. And he's a very outspoken Christian in Hollywood land. And on set one day, I was having my misgivings about taking this movie with three witches as the central focus of the film. So I said to him one day, Ralph, I hear you're a Christian. Is it? He goes, the rumors are true. Oh, good. Help me feel better about, you know, being in this movie with witches as the centerpiece. He said, oh. He said, well, Doug, they're going to make this movie with or without us, so wouldn't it be better with us? Okay. Now, this doesn't work for porn, by the way. So don't get any ideas. about how you're going to witness. But in this situation, he was executive producer, and he had a very strong voice in how the story was told and how things were guided with that. He reminded me the witches are the bad guy. They're the evil force of the movie. The central focus really is the brother-sister and their new friend relationship and how good will win over evil. That's the story that he was telling. And as an actor, he said, you know, you have subtle differences you can make in your role. You have choices you can make that will guide that character. And I did. I had a chance to rewrite a line of dialogue for myself that helped soften the blow of what could have been worse. So he was right about that. And aside from all this showbiz talk, though, life is full of so much more. And I learned that lesson kind of the hard way. When I was I had a string of things. Pan's Labyrinth had come out in theaters, The Silver Surfer came out in theaters, and then I was working on Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, over in Europe for 6 months. During all that whole time, I'd been Doug Jones so much. I'd been promoting things and working on things, and I was spending a lot of time being Doug Jones. And when I got home from Budapest, Hungary, from my 6 month shoot on Hellboy 2. And Hellboy 2, they had us working 6 day work weeks, 18 hours a day. I was sleeping 4 hours a night and then on set like this a lot. I lost a piece of myself during that shoot. And I came home right before the holidays that year, right before Christmas. And January 2nd, I wake up, 2008, January 2nd, I wake up at home, Mrs. Laurie has gone off to work, and I was by myself in the house, and I looked in my calendar, and I saw nothing for the entire month of January. Oh, February, empty. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have nothing planned. All of a sudden, the last 3 years before this, I had been Doug Jones, he's working, he's doing, yeah. And now I'm looking at a blank calendar, not realizing that I had what I'd done to myself, that I had forgotten about Dougie. I was spending so much time promoting Doug Jones that I let Dougie crumble a little bit. I got instantly depressed. I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't answer emails or answer the phone. And I got very depressed. And I ended up at the gym one night because, you know, it always makes you feel better to go to the gym and do stuff. And if you do that at the gym, you're going to get some looks, by the way. So I ended up in the middle of the aerobics floor after classes were done for the day. I was there late at night, sitting in the middle of this wooden floor with mirrors in front of me. And I was kind of doing some stretchy things and some, you know, like I do. And I'm looking at myself in the mirror from across the room, and I just burst into tears. Like, wow, where did that come from? And that's when I realized that I had no idea who I was looking at. That was Dougie I was looking at, and I didn't know him anymore. I hadn't spent any time with him. I'd been promoting this Doug Jones character that my public person, but Dougie was, like, lacking. And that's when a second scripture came to mind, that if you really want life fulfillment, right, beyond just your career, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? That's when God reminded me of all my other titles that I go by. Besides actor, number one, I'm a child of God's. I'm a child of his. Saved only by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's number one title in my life. I'm also other great titles like husband, son, uncle, brother, friend, mentor to some. poor them. God just took a minute to remind me of all the other titles that he's given me, and the people that come with them, and the responsibilities that come with them, and the joys and the blessings that come with all that whole well-rounded life that goes far beyond just being actor Doug Jones, you know? How nice to realize that. How nice to realize that if I seek first the kingdom of God, what's added to me that is all those plans that he has for me, plans to prosper, right? Not harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. Right. Yeah, it's all out there if we remember to seek first his kingdom. My grandfather, as Carolyn Ridley told you, was an administrator teacher here after he graduated here. He carried the title of dean, we think, maybe perhaps vice president even. He said so. He might have beefed up his own title. I don't know. But I heard legend of Asbury College back then, and then Asbury University. It's been a pass down through my family, my mom's side of the family. And I must tell you that he would be extremely proud today, not just that his grandson is sitting on stage having time with you in chapel, but the fact that Asbury University has maintained not only its academic standards and just excelled in that area, but also your moral compass and your dedication to sticking with the Bible, sticking with the Word of God. He would be very, very proud to see what Asbury has maintained and has become. So thank you from my family for that. If I may end us, close us out with a word of prayer. Is that okay? I'm not a grade A prayer, but if I can, let's give this a go. Dear Heavenly Father, hi, it's just us. We want to thank you so much for giving us salvation and forgiveness of our sins through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the plans that you have for us. Please let us rely on you and seek you first so that those plans may come to fruition in all of our lives. We ask that you send us on our merry way today, and we ask that you bless the entire weekend full of creativity and whatnot, all the ending with the Hybrid Film Festival that I'm included with. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you so much for having me today. Thank you.